It got to a point where, I started feeling very suicidal, and it was a very tough time. And I know I wasn't doing the right things. I was raised as a Catholic, but I never went to church. I never prayed. I never read the Bible. Like I said, I knew God, but there was nothing I was doing that was anything relatively close. My friends started to experiment into drugs, alcohol. We were not in the best of places, but we're teenagers. We don't know what to do. We're having our own issues at home. And it was very interesting because in that moment, I never thought about life or death. I never thought about what happens after I die. I didn't think about God or heaven or any of that.
Welcome to the Heart to Heart podcast. I'm excited to have Christopher James LeBron join us today. Christopher brings a powerful testimony. He was born in Chicago. He grew up in Florida, and he's currently living in Chicago. Today, Christopher is here to share a compelling story that includes navigating the challenges of parents' divorce, embarking on a journey of seeking and finding truth, and experiencing a transformative moment when he heard the voice of God for the first time. Christopher, I want to welcome you to our podcast. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, it's great to be here.
Awesome. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. I think a nap is always a great time. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day out, and I think life is just so beautiful right now. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And, I was really looking forward to this day. Christopher, why don't you begin where you want to start?
I was born in Chicago, but I was raised in Florida. So I guess my story really starts down in Florida. I grew up with both of my parents, and they met here in Chicago when they were in their 20s. They got married after a year of dating and ended up leaving to Puerto Rico. For 8 years, they were trying to have a kid, and then I came out. And what ended up happening was that they felt like the hospitals were not the best in Puerto Rico, so they decided to have me here in Chicago. And then once I was born, 2 weeks later, went back to Puerto Rico. And then finally, when I was 4 years old, moved down to Florida. It was very interesting growing up because I was a single child for a while until I was seven. And then my sister came along. And then a year or two later, my brother came along. So I'm the oldest of three. And for a long time, my parents have been married. At this point, they were married for about 20 plus years. And it was very interesting because, I mean, when you have both parents growing up, it's a lot different. And so what started to happen, unfortunately, was that they were starting to get into a lot of arguments, a lot of disagreements, and it went from little disagreements to full-on fights. And when you're in the house, it's kind of tough to get away from that because your house is supposed to be, your safe haven. Unfortunately, during middle school, the fighting got so bad that they decided to tell me that they're planning on getting a divorce. And, that was very tough for me. I was just starting to become a teenager. I'm going through puberty. And it really did affect the household a lot. At that time, I started to go through a lot of depression, anxiety, and I was starting to get very angry. And I honestly didn't know why. I was starting to lash out a lot on my siblings because there was a big responsibility now in the household, now that my parents were focusing so much on getting divorced, that I kind of had to watch over them a lot. I had to kind of be that third parent. And because of that, I started to resent my siblings a lot. At first, I thought it was just that I was the older brother. They're just younger siblings. They're being annoying. But, you know, I think it was something deeper. It was really tough for all of us for the divorce to happen. And it got so bad with my relationship with my siblings that they would just randomly want to play with me or they'd want to talk to me. And I would just scream at them, just randomly have outbursts. I'd be like, get away from me. I'd just be like, I don't want to talk. Like, and you know, at this time, my siblings are 7, 8 years old. They don't know what's going on. They don't even understand what's going on with the divorce. So it's very tough for them as well. It was really crazy because at this time, as I start to go into high school, you know, it's been 3 long years of separation. And now my parents both live in separate houses. And you know, now there's like a lot of conflict with the lawyers and it's just such a long process. And they've been fighting for so long that at this point, I want them to get separated because I was just tired of fighting, tired of the restlessness. And I just started going further and further down an emotional spiral of just feeling like the world is just nothing. I feel numb. I just feel nothing but anger, hatred. You know, going through constant moments of depression. And it got to a point where, you know, I started feeling very suicidal. And it was a very tough time. And I know I wasn't doing the right things. I was raised as a Catholic, but I never went to church. I never prayed. I never read the Bible. Like, I said I knew God, but there was nothing I was doing that was anything relatively close. I was a cursing, you know, delinquent kid who just was trying to get through life. But the more and more I tried, the number and number I felt. At times, I just didn't want to do anything. I would just sleep at home and just not care about it. And it was very interesting because at one point when I was in lunch, it's just another day. We're outside. Friends and I, you know, at this point, I started to become addicted to pornography because I kind of felt that was like my outing for all of this. My friends started to experiment into drugs, alcohol. We were not in the best of places, but we're teenagers. We don't know what to do. We're having our own issues at home. And it was very interesting because in that moment, I never thought about life or death. I never thought about what happens after I die. I didn't think about God or heaven or any of that. This feeling, almost feeling like something just got dropped into me, came over me. It felt like an overwhelming amount of dread, just feeling like death is on my doorstep and I'm feeling this rush of just anxiety and grief, and nothing I'm doing is taking me away from that feeling. It felt physically like if I was sinking into quicksand. And this feeling that started at lunch transitioned to home, and it went from a moment to a couple of days to a couple months. And it was something I just could not shake. Every day, every moment, I was just thinking about this dread of just, where am I going after I die? What's going to happen to me? You know, and it felt nothing but just horrible dread the whole time. And so because I couldn't shake it off, I started to just question and ask myself, like, what can I do to help get rid of this? I immediately started to have this feeling of just trying to seek some sort of religion or belief or something that can take me away from this. And I was like, okay, a lot of people believe in a lot of things, you know, I might as well start there. Maybe that might help. And even though I was, you know, calling myself a Catholic and calling myself someone who believes in God, the church was not the first thing. I actually decided to first check out a lot of religions that my friends supposedly believed in. I checked out Hinduism. I checked out some Buddhism. I even checked out some Satanism because a lot of my friends were Satanists. The problem with it was, though, was that even though I was seeking these things, I always kind of felt there was something missing. You know, I felt like either this religion would only work for a certain time period or a certain culture, and it just didn't fit the story of just like what I was going through, this existential dread. And a lot of it felt worse when I was learning it because, you know, things with like Satanism, it was very much just self-centered, just about you, focus on you. It's all about you. But in this moment, I did not feel like that was the right answer. It felt like the complete opposite. It felt like it was feeding it. It felt like the dread was getting even worse. It felt like the sinking was just consistent. And it started to get me to become sleepless. I could not sleep at all at nights. And it was very, very harsh. And at this point, I'm starting to still look for some sort of belief. And I start to look back at the fact that I'm Catholic and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go ask my parents. I got to figure this out. Got to see what's going on. I go to my parents and start asking them questions like, why am I feeling like this? I feel dreadful. Is it puberty? Why do I feel like I'm about to die? This does not feel good. Why do I feel like I'm sinking? Like, what is going on? And a lot of their responses was just kind of the same. It was just, your father's doing this, your mother's doing that. You know, can you believe this is happening? And it kind of felt like they weren't listening. And it was kind of hard because it's like, sure, this divorce is going on and on, but I don't know what to think of other than that dread that I'm feeling. And so I was like, okay, I don't think they can help me. I got to figure something else out. I know that, you know, priests know a lot about, you know, the Bible and God and all these things. So I did go to a local church that was down the street and I walked there. I went to go ask this priest all these questions. Just, what am I feeling? Like, why do I feel like death is nearby? And he was kind of giving just similar responses that just felt like he wasn't really listening. He was just saying things like, you know, just recite this prayer that we know. Just do that, you know. Oh, it's normal. And for me, I didn't feel like it was normal. I felt like this was something very, very big. And if I didn't get rid of it, it's going to linger there forever. And so I was like, okay, parents don't know. This priest doesn't know. The Bible, you know, I'm like, all right, I haven't read the Bible before. I'm gonna figure this out. Check it out. Maybe this might have some answers. Of course, it was a King James version. And of course, the first reading is not easy. So I opened it, tried to read a few verses, and I was still confused. But even though I was still confused, it was the first time that I started to feel like this might be something that can help me. I don't know what it is. I can't understand this, but there's something in this book that is the solution to what I'm going through. And so I kept trying to understand it. I kept trying to research about it. You know, I started to try to pray to God to kind of ask, so I was just so confused. And I was like, God, if you're there, I don't understand. I don't know what I'm going through. You know, just trying to reach out, just hoping something would happen. And although I wasn't necessarily expecting anything to happen, ironically, I heard God's voice. I heard him speak back to me, or at least at the time I thought it was, I wasn't sure what it was. And it was a very soothing voice, you know, felt like my own father was speaking to me. And I remember the first time I heard it was in class. in English. And I was just looking around, seeing all these different students, and I was just curious. I was like, God, why are we living this life? Like, what's with everything? Why are we here? And he was telling me a lot of answers about just how we're, you know, we were created by him and that, you know, he loves us. And sure, not everything is exactly what he wanted, but like, he created us for a bigger purpose. And I was very thrown back. I was like, that's not my voice. That's not me thinking. There's no way I would be thinking that. I didn't just come up with that. Like, did I just hear someone speak back to me? And it got me even more curious to keep asking, to keep seeking him, and to keep trying to understand this Bible. It took months to start to really understand what's going on, who I am, where I'm at. But it really started to change my character. You know, this numb, depressed, angry kid started to want to learn to love and care for others and really just focus more on that rather than my own existential dread. And anytime I started to feel that dread, anytime I started to feel, you know, it creeping back up, I started to just pray to God. I started to just focus on what the Bible's telling me, not to worry, not to be afraid, to just seek the Lord, and it would go away. And I would just keep clinging on to God because it felt like it was the only thing taking me away from this existential dread. It was crazy because now I'm starting to develop a habit of going to church, you know, that church that was down the street. I was going to it, and I'm starting to listen to Christian music, and I started to draw, you know, pictures of the cross. And anytime I would find a YouTube video about like Jesus, I would just watch it. And I'm just trying to understand everything about this. And the more I'm starting to understand, the more it's starting to come together, why I'm feeling this dread, why I'm feeling, you know, so empty. And it was really starting to bring a joyful noise to me. My siblings started to notice. And I started to ask the Lord. I was like, Lord, I want my family to start feeling like this. What do I do? And he was like, I want you to start showing them love. I want you to start asking them how their day is. I want you to tell them I love you. And I was like, okay, that's what you want me to do. And so I actually started to go to my siblings. I started to see how their day was. I was trying to be very patient. I was trying to just build a relationship with them like I never had before. And I even remember my sister telling me that I used to pull out the Bible and just read them biblical stories. And it brought such a warm feeling to her. And she just really enjoyed it. And she really loved how I was changing, how I was really caring for them and telling them I love you and feeling that comfort that they wanted before. And it got them so intrigued that they started to ask my mom that if they could start going to church and that they want to start learning about Jesus and about God. And, you know, my mom was very thrown back because at this time, you know, my mom has my two siblings. I live with my father. You know, my mom resented me thinking that I chose my dad over her. But in reality, I was just numb to both. I didn't care. I just felt like my dad should not be alone. And at the time, I didn't know why. But perhaps it could have been God just guiding me into that household, because at this time, we're not all believers. And, you know, I started to talk to my parents, see how they are. I would call them when they were at work. You know, I remember one time my dad, like, I was just calling him and I was like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm good. Like, I'm working right now. What is it? What do you need? I was like, no, nothing. I just want to see how everything's going. And he was really thrown back by that. He's like, okay, well, I'm working right now, so I got to go. I was like, okay, I love you. And again, very stunned, silent, did not know how to react. And he goes, oh, okay, well, all right, bye. And during those moments, I felt discouraged. During those moments, it did not feel good that not getting necessarily the same reaction, but then I would hear God say, I want you to keep going. I want you to keep telling them I love you. I want you to keep asking them how they're doing. I want you to keep caring for them. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. I was like, okay, I don't understand it, but I'll keep going. And so I kept building that habit, building those relationships. At this point, my mom, like, I didn't know this, but at the time, one of her coworkers was asking her for about 2 years now to come to her church, come to her church, come to her church. She was always saying no. She always had a reason. And throughout those 2 years, her friend was praying for her that she would one day come to church. And with my mom, you know, that her kids are asking to go to church, you know, she is now shocked. And she's like, all right, well, my friend has this church. I'm going to take you all to this church. So she takes my siblings to this church. And at this time, I'm going to a church down the street, you know, kind of going on my own every Sunday. And then one day my mom asks, hey, I know we don't have the best relationship right now, but, you know, I'm starting to go to this church and I would love for you to come with me. And I was like, whoa, yeah, I'm all for it. Let's go. So we all decided to go. And it was amazing to see that my mom found a church and I heard about her coworker praying for her. And I'm starting to see what God's doing, that he's growing each of our faiths in our own journeys. And, you know, now all that's left is my dad. And still trying to talk to him, still trying to invite him to church. And he's like, no, no, no. But then finally, as I'm, you know, one Sunday getting ready to go to church, just walk there, my dad felt bad. So he decides to go with me. And at this time, you know, I don't consider myself a Catholic because I'm starting to learn a lot about how, you know, when you separate yourself from truly what's in the Bible, you start to kind of make it your own thing. God doesn't want that. And so I went to this church because it was the only church that I could walk to. And I was like, God, they may not believe in the same things that that you want us to believe, but I'm going to worship you there as if it's your house. Like I'm going to worship you, you know? And my dad, he himself had a bad relationship with the Catholic Church about giving money and, you know, believing in these like saints. And, you know, he himself didn't understand it, but he just wasn't very cozy when seeing the church. And so he felt bad because I was walking on my own and he's like, you're my son. I'll drive you there. You know? I was like, okay. And he goes, he drives me and he decides to come in with me. He's like, and so we go into the back, you know, it's pretty packed. And the whole sermon is about the priest is just asking for money, you know, hey, we really need the money. Please, if you could give, like, we really need it. And that was the whole entire session. And, you know, at one point, this lady comes up to me asking for money. And unfortunately, I didn't have any at the time. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I don't have any. And then my dad decides to pitch in. He's like, here, like, fine, like, I'll pitch in. And it was very interesting because as we all left, that whole sermon was about money. And this lady who was homeless was outside asking people for money. And my dad started to see just people, you know, avoiding her, getting out of the way. And, you know, I came up to her and was just trying to talk with her, trying to show that love. And my dad started to pitch in because he was like, why are we all coming out of church and not giving? And so that kind of rubbed him the wrong way. But I did feel that there was something God was doing with him through that. A couple weeks pass, you know, and my mom is still going to this church. I'm starting to go with her more. And finally, one day when my dad comes to pick up the kids at her house, my mom starts to ask him to come with him to church. And my dad's thrown back by it because he thinks it's a scheme, a plot for the trial, that somehow it's going to help with the divorce case. And, you know, something's going to, it's a trap. And she's like, no, I really want you to come with us to church. And she's just bawling her eyes out, just asking him, begging him, please just come with us to church. Just please this one time. And he's just very thrown back by how much she wants him to come with them to church. Because at this point, my mom was so resistant towards him. She was growing further and further away throughout the marriage. They were fighting. She did not want anything to do with him. And here she is in this moment, on her hands and knees, just asking him to come to church. And he's like, fine, I'll come with you guys to church. And so that Sunday, we all go. And, you know, my dad's still standoffish, still kind of like, what is this? And we're all just worshiping. We're all just, you know, giving our all to the Lord. You know, with the tithing, we have no problem just giving. And, you know, he's starting to see somewhat of a different type of atmosphere, a different type of church that is just there to fulfill the word and just there to worship God and there to just give everything and not come being perfect, but rather seeking God's perfection and being more in his likeness. It started with that. And then my dad started wanting to come with us more and more. And it was very interesting because I was starting to see God turn his heart into wanting, desiring to become more Christ-like. And he was wanting to see himself receive the Holy Spirit. And he would see me and my siblings, and we're all just crying, or like, we just have these moments where it really feels like God is there. And my dad's like, I want that. I want that. And so I'm starting to see that hunger. And I was like, wow, my dad, like, even one time he used to tell me, this is great that you're into all this Jesus stuff, but I need you to stop. And now he's asking to receive the Holy Spirit and asking to be in the church like we are. And we're starting to go more and more throughout the months. And it's crazy to see just this growth. But as we're seeing growth, we're also seeing attacks. The insomnia starting to go away, but then I'm starting to receive spiritual attacks. I'm starting to hear voices that are not so friendly. I'm starting to, you know, hear evil voices saying, you're going to die. There's no hope. Give up. I remember one time when I was sleeping, I was being held down. And I felt nothing but a rush of anxiety. It almost felt like someone was pushing me down against the bed. And the thing is, all I knew was to pray. And I knew at that moment that the enemy was trying to stop my family from growing, from getting to God, from seeking him. And I just kept praying and praying and praying. And anytime those moments would happen, I would just go into prayer and asking God, free me, please save me. I need you, God. I need you, God. And like, those were the moments that I would be freed. And that dread and those scary voices would go away. And then I'd start hearing the pleasant voice, that fatherly voice, that godly voice. And so as I was combating that off, like, you know, my dad's starting to come with us more to church. And now there's starting to be a change of heart between them two. Now they no longer are starting to argue with each other. They're starting to talk to each other. And at one point, they end up telling the lawyers that they no longer want to get a divorce. And they said that they fell back in love through God. And the lawyers are furious at this point because they're like, no, like, you're supposed to get a divorce. We're supposed to have this settlement. And like, but they're like, no, we're completely happy now. Like, we don't want this 20 plus marriage to go anymore. Like, we're happy. And so my parents start to move back in together. I'm starting to have this really beautiful friendship with my siblings. I'm starting to have a really great relationship with my parents. They're starting to love each other again. Now we're going to church every Sunday. My parents are starting to preach. They're starting to like really be passionate about God. And every night they're reading the Bible and they're having these prayer nights and Bible studies and just like everything's just coming together. And I'm just like in shock because I'm like, wow, God, you are working. You have worked this whole time. And here I was coming from a place of just dread And not only did you save me, you saved my siblings, you saved my parents. Now at age 18, you know, we're fully in the faith, we're fully there. And now I'm starting to go to college. And I wanted to always go to Chicago. I always had that in my heart. I've always visited in the summers. And it was amazing to see that God wasn't done, you know. And I think he's never done with you in your life. You just have to continuously seek him. And it was crazy that the night before I was like, God, I want to go to college. Like I got accepted into this university outside of Chicago. Like I want to go so bad, but up until this point, I don't want to go unless you want me to go. So if you want me to stay in Florida, I'll stay in Florida. And we went to church that night and my mom was preaching. And I came to the altar and the Holy Spirit just came over me. And I just fell to the floor and was just in a deep sleep. I could hear everything, but I was just asleep. And, you know, my mom started just bawling her eyes out, crying, just being like, look at my son. He was used by God to save our family. Now we're all believers and now he's going to college. Look at him. And as she's saying that, I'm starting to get a vision of a city that is destroyed, blown to smithereens. And I see myself rise above the rubble with a bunch of people my age. And he says, you're going to lead so many people to me, my age. And I want you to go to the city. I want you to minister in my name. I want you to go. And I was just weeping and weeping and weeping and waking up. And I'm like, thank you, God, for that confirmation. And I've never had moments like that. And it's not like I have that every day, but it was really relieving to see that God was approving things, and always constantly seeking him for approval was always the most satisfying thing for me. And so now I live here in Chicago. You know, I graduated college. My parents are still ministering. They're constantly bringing new family relatives. They're bringing friends. I'm out here and I've met so many great Christians. Like I have a new church here. I'm even seeing my aunts and uncles and grandma and grandpa, like I'm getting to see them here in Chicago. And some of them even are now starting to go to church. And I'm having friends who I knew in high school who weren't believers. And now they're telling me that they're coming back to Christ. And it's just like God is working and working and working. And it's just been amazing to see just kind of the journey of where we started and where we're going. And there's even things now that is just like so amazing to see that only God could have done. So it's like, I give him all the glory and all the thanks. And it gives me such a joyous heart that he saved us in such a miraculous way. So.
Lord, praise the Lord. It's, you know, what a good God we serve. You know, we serve an amazing God, and to see what he has done in your family, turn things around, and even the way he used you, it's amazing. How would you describe your personal relationship with Jesus?
Oh man, where to start? Jesus is, he's my best friend. He's my savior. And it's so amazing that I get to really experience his love firsthand. And I mean, man, like I can't go a day without talking to him. And the second I do, I start getting a rush of anxiety. I start getting frantic, you know, all things out the door. And I love that God is constantly always giving me wisdom and things. I mean, it's never easy in life. And even though, you know, being a believer doesn't necessarily mean like everything's going to go peachy, I feel a lot more clarity and peace in the crazy moments. So Jesus is just, he's my best friend, like hearing him all the time. I love his humor. I love his, he's a great guy. And man, like I think everybody needs to experience Jesus and really give themselves to him wholeheartedly. Not a religion, but faith, like truly believe in him, you know?
I love that Jesus is your best friend and he's your friend. And I love that. What words of encouragement? Because you've been there. You've been, you know, in that place where, you know, it was dark. You know, you went through all those tough moments. What words of encouragement would you offer to someone struggling with, you know, the feeling of hopelessness?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who probably are seeking God, or they're trying and they're maybe not hearing anything. And perhaps they may not hear God the way I did, but don't think that silence means that God is ignoring you. Oftentimes, it's a season to build character. I mean, there's been many times even, you know, I've been a Christian for 10 years now, and there's even still seasons where it's like, I don't hear the voice of God, but I know God's working. And you have to truly believe in that. If you're truly doing everything in your power to seek him, believe in him, you know, you're putting all your dedication to him, just know he's not ignoring you. He's really trying to develop things in you that you may not even see. And he's maybe trying to protect you from things that you think is for the better, but it's really not, you know? I think a lot of times we think God is just going to grant us all these things and we're going to get every single wish granted. It's like, no, he knows best. And if he doesn't say yes to it, that means he has something better. I mean, I'd say that because I personally went through a season recently that I could not hear God's voice, and it was frustrating and I was really needing him. But now I'm starting to see a season where he's showing me everything that was working, everything that's been happening, and it's for the greater good. So don't fret if you can't hear him. Just continue to pursue him. That's what I encourage.
Oh, I love that. Christopher! Call you Pastor Chris. Like,
yeah. I, Lord, was it?
You have a powerful, powerful testimony. And
Thank you. The first time
when we talked, when we spoke, you know, I told you, I shared with you that I was, you know, when I first came across your testimony, you know, you had tears. You had been tears. What would you hope listeners take away from your testimony today?
Yeah, I hope it really just shows that God is a miracle worker. And as much as we, you know, I know the world always tries to push it that, like, you know, God is not dead. God is a living God. He's always lived. Like, and I'm really hoping that it gives those people hope. I know everyone's going through their own situations. I know family's never easy. I know going through depression and anxiety is never easy, but God is the way out. As much as there's all these substitutions, but they're all very limited. They're all very, they'll help once, but they're not going to help you all the time. God is the only thing that will fulfill. So I'm hoping that God really works in people through this and really just shows them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Honestly.
Powerful, powerful. Yeah. Christopher, I want to thank you for, you know, stopping by and blessing us, you know, with your powerful and inspiring testimony. I know it's going to bless a lot of people, you know.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, I'm so happy to see a podcast dedicated to the Lord. I don't think there's enough. I think this crazy world, so much is happening. Like, we need Jesus, you know? So I'm very thankful for you for having me.